On a completely different note, the Gospel of Matthew, reading from the 13th chapter, the parable of the sower and its interpretation. When I get to the part after Jesus' words about the parable, when the interpretation comes, which is in red in your red letter edition Bibles, almost all biblical scholars believe, however, that the explanation of the parable is an allegory that came from the writer of the gospel, Matthew, and his community of faith, reflecting the teaching of Jesus of how it applied to their community faith at that particular time, which is different from being the words and interpretation of Jesus himself. Because as Harold Hill and others have taught us, Jesus taught with stories and sometimes left the interpretation up to us. But I will read both this morning. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the world, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. How would you fill in the blank in the following sentence? College Hill Presbyterian Church is in the business of blank. That's an admittedly strange question to ask of a church, but it is a very important one. The tendency of most folks is to give a functional answer, like, we're in the business of worship, Christian education, fellowship, service, and outreach. And true, that is what we do. But our real business is more on an emotional level than on a functional one. Recognizing what we provide emotionally in turn then helps us discern what we might do functionally. So, for example, I would suggest that we are in the business of providing hope, in the business of offering compassion, in the business of providing a safe place of belonging and community, the business of promoting spiritual growth and theological exploration, the business of living into our love for God, for one another, and for others. And given the title of this sermon, it's obvious that I plan to make the case that College Hill Presbyterian Church is also in the seed planting business. Following that metaphor, that makes each and every one of us scatterers of seeds, or planters, or gardeners. In the parable of the sower, which is found in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, indicates that scattering seed refers to spreading the gospel message of good news. Okay, but that's another way of saying that we're all evangelists. And I know that's not a word that many of you are fans with. But as I always add as a reminder, being an evangelist is not the same as being evangelical from a theological perspective. Progressive Christians, whenever we share the good news through our acts of love, compassion, kindness, justice, and inclusion, and our efforts to bring light into darkness, eradicate ignorance and prejudice, we are acting as evangelists in the best sense of the term. And these are the seeds then that we are called to sow. We are to sow them in our own personal lives among those we love, at our places of employment or schools, in our interactions with complete strangers that we encounter on a daily basis, and certainly in our work, ministry, and life together as this community of faith. And notice that in the parable, the one who sows the seeds does so in such a manner that the seeds land all over the place, along a hard path, outside the soil of the garden itself, in soil that is rocky and shallow, in soil that already contains many thorny plants, and thank goodness, also in good, rich soil. Biblical author, commentator, and former Presbyterian preaching professor Thomas Long reflects, "This is no careful, prudent farmer and planter. Far from cautious, this farmer throws seed around with abandon. It flies in all directions and lands everywhere, on the hard path, all over a rock-littered patch, into the thorn bushes, as well as onto the good, rich soil." In other words, the farmer in this parable is not a normal planter. This person is a farmer whose methods instead reflect the kingdom of God. This person sows the seed extravagantly, as widely as possible, oblivious to risks, much as God lavishes mercy, grace, and love upon you and me and all of humanity. To be sure, then, the farmer takes some losses. But never mind. Despite the wasted efforts and the squandered seed, the farmer nonetheless achieves a bumper crop, 100-fold, 60-fold, even 30-fold. And by the way, the average yield in ancient Palestine was a return of only 7.5-fold. This is a story, then, of the radical abundance of God. And when we learn, and what we learn is that the work of the kingdom of God, like the work of the sower, will take its share of blows and disappointments and seemingly overwhelming setbacks. Yet given all that, we're told that the harvest is guaranteed. And the church in every time and place knows the truth of this parable. It takes the good news into the world, hardly knowing where to cast it. A new idea here, a change in program along the way, an act of loving kindness to a stranger, a challenge to the powers that be in order to promote justice. But often, what do those efforts encounter? Well, metaphorically, hard soil, scorching sun, and sharp thorns. In other words, anything from obliviousness to hostile resistance to change. But there's more than pessimism in this parable. In fact, we are to take special note of its ending, as is always the case with parables, which reveals the promise of our work in sowing the seeds. As Tom Long encourages, keep on preaching the gospel and showing the compassion of the kingdom of God in ways that we do not always know and in places we cannot always see. The gospel is falling on good soil. And even now, the great harvest of God is growing rich and full in the fields. So true, Some of the work and ministry efforts of this congregation has and will continue to fall upon unproductive soil. But not all of it. Yes, sometimes it's easy to get discouraged. But just when the sower questions whether it's all worth it or not, a few seeds take root in good soil and burst forth with an unexpectedly abundant harvest. The Reverend Sarah Dillon Brewer, an Episcopal priest in Maryland, adds, "Even when we're looking at less tangible and measurable qualities that we value, like love and blessing, there sometimes is a sense that the good things God has for us are in such limited supply that the only kind of good and responsible stewardship is to guard it very carefully, to give it only to those that we deem are worthy, to protect it like the last egg of an endangered bird. But we are called to treat God's love, God's justice, and God's blessing, precious as these are, as if they were absolutely limitless in supply, for one simple reason: they are." I often repeat and use in worship liturgy the mantra of Episcopal Bishop John Shelby Spong, who reflects Jesus' ministry and our own with three simple phrases: live life fully, love wastefully, and be who you are created to be. And this middle one, loving wastefully, is a way of saying to love in extravagant abundance, scattering the seeds of love far and wide in every direction. Spong's connection, therefore, with the parable of the sower is evident. Now, I would like to ask all of you this week to reflect upon the seeds of good news that you have scattered over the years, and the lives of the people you have encountered, and with those that you have been in relationship. Those of you who are parents, or teachers of children, or have done youth ministry, or have served as a mentor to someone at work, especially know the impact of this parable of sowing seeds. Something I found interesting, since I got a Facebook account a few years ago, and I'm sure many of you have experienced this as well, I've ended up having friend requests, in one instance by more than a dozen folks, all now in their late 30s, who I used to lead in the junior high youth group back in my home church near Houston, Texas, back in the mid to late 1980s, most of which I haven't seen since then. And there's another dozen from the church I served in Canyon, Texas, during my year as a seminary intern over 20 years ago, in 1991 and 92. And one person in a recent text message wrote, "Hey, you practically raised us." That's a humbling statement, simply for the effort of caring and spending time with others. Seeds were planted, and evidently some landed in good soil. And just within the past couple of months, a teenager of one of our members, a young man who doesn't attend College Hill, sent me a kind of a statement of faith of where he stood in his understanding of God, which had begun to diverge from traditional Christianity and his own Catholic upbringing. Well, I was touched, as any one of us should be when any teenager chooses to reach out to us. Well, I took this very seriously, and I emailed him back with some very deep observations to which I would give to any adult. And I planted some seeds of how I understood the nature and character of God. And just yesterday morning, literally, as I was writing this sermon, I got an email from his dad entitled, "Seed Taking Root." Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. He wrote that his son would like me to join them for dinner so that he can, quote, discuss what God is with me. You never, ever know when the seeds that we plant take root. Often, however, one doesn't get to experience the results of the growth of those seeds that were planted. Yet occasionally, we get glimpses of realizing that in following the call to scatter seeds extravagantly, some of those seeds do land in good soil. And the growth and the abundance can be remarkable. So we never know when and where the seeds that we sow, our ministry efforts, will take root and will make all the difference in the life of another, perhaps even yourself, or in the life of our community of faith, or in our neighborhood and beyond. So the important lesson is to keep sowing abundantly. And just in case anyone asks you what College Hill is all about, perhaps you can add that we're in the seed planting business. Amen.